WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
On this archive edition of Fresh Air, we're paying tribute to The Simpsons, which will broadcast its 300th episode this weekend.
Dear purveyors of senseless violence, I know this may sound silly at first, but I believe that the cartoons you show to our children are influencing their behavior in a negative way. Please try to tone down the psychotic violence in your otherwise fine programming. Yours truly, Marge Simpson.
Take a letter, Miss White. Dear valued viewer, thank you for taking an interest in the Itchy and Scratchy program. Enclosed is a personally autographed photo of America's favorite cat and mouse team to add to your collection. In regards to your specific comments about the show, our research indicates that one person cannot make a difference, no matter how big a screwball she is. So let me close by saying...
And the horse I rode in on! I'll show them what one screwball can do!
That was from one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons, in which Marge campaigns against cartoon violence. We're going to hear from two of the original writers of The Simpsons, Al Jean and Michael Reese. They've also written for The Tonight Show, It's Gary Shandling Show, and Sledgehammer. They've been partners since their college days at Harvard. One of their Simpsons episodes, in which Marge takes a stand against the blood and gore in the Itchy and Scratchy cartoons her children watch, is a favorite around here. In 1992, Terry Gross asked Jean and Reese how and why they wrote it.
The cartoons that they watched on The Simpsons, the Itchy and Scratchy show, were extremely violent, so she led a crusade and actually got them to tone down their violence. And the cartoons were really pathetic without violence. They were really lame. So kids didn't watch them, and then they went out and they started, riding bikes and building things and having fun. And, it seemed like a golden age, but then... Michelangelo's David was going to tour Springfield, and then the same people that wanted to censor the cartoons wanted to put pants on the statue, and Marge realized that you can't really censor one thing without saying that censorship is okay in all forms. For a children's show, or, quote-unquote children's show, it really had a lot to say.
And also, it's sort of typical of a Simpsons episode, which is it made a lot of points that all canceled each other out. The show really doesn't have a platform.
The other thing is we're sort of crusading against violent cartoons, but of course we got the show about 10 minutes of very violent cartoons, so we were kind of playing both ends against the middle.
Well, the violent cartoons that you show are Itchy and Scratchy, which kind of regularly appear in the series. And, all they do is just kind of like beat on each other with a hammer. I mean, that's the whole, there is no plot, or there's not even as much plot as there is in a Roadrunner cartoon.
No, in fact, they average about 6 seconds long. So if it was a real cartoon, you really wouldn't, get much out of them.
We generally even spend longer writing the title of the cartoon than writing the rest of it. Something like Bang the Cat Slowly was one title, and that took about 2 hours, and the rest of the cartoon was pretty easy to do.
Now, how do you work with the animators? Do you write the scripts first and then hand it over to them?
Yeah, the first thing we do is write the script and then record the audio track with the cast.
We record it like a radio show. It takes about 8 hours, and we cut it down to about 19 minutes of audio track. And then that's sent to the animators, who expand it to about 24 minutes.
We have a team of 6 guys who are terrific. They direct the way a movie director directs a feature, and... they take the script and they pretty much stage the whole thing, design the characters, and then we see a real rough version in black and white called an animatic. We do some rewrites there, and then we send the whole thing to Korea, and that's where the actual color animation is done. It comes back about 3 months later.
You're really working far ahead.
It's sort of a good thing, which is we throw in some topical allusions, but I think it's going to make the show a little more... It'll be a little timeless because we can't ride every current thing and get a quick laugh off of something that's in the news right now.
A bad thing that happens is we'll use a name like Rex Harrison or somebody, and then he'll die before the show airs, so we have to change it. It's sort of like there's a curse. And then we did a big joke about the Soviet Union and it died. So we have to just kind of be careful.
We had a little thing where... Jackie Mason appeared on the show, and they flew to New York to record him, and he just made some reference to Isaac Bashevis Singer. And then a couple of months later, reading the paper, Isaac Bashevis Singer dies. Isaac Bashevis Singer dies. Oh, no. And we had to fly back to New York and get him to replace the line with Saul Bellow. And then for the next 2 months, we were praying, Saul Bellow, please don't die. And, you know, these prayers were going out to him, and I think he didn't know why.
Are there aspects of your family life that you've ever written into an episode?
Since we work on the show all the time, there, you know, is maybe 1 hour's worth of family life a week, but we do suck that into the show. I mean, we do draw from anything that happens to us.
Yeah, it's because we can pour everything into the show. I think it does draw on everybody's childhood. We've really sucked everyone dry at the show. And what I'm actually curious to see this coming season, I've thrown a lot of my family's traumas into the show, and I haven't told them, and I'm going to see if they recognize them and if they get mad at me.
Can I ask you to give an example of something that happened in your lives, either as children or as adults, you know, in your family that you've used on an episode?
A little one would be when we were kids, my dad would want us to say grace, and my sister would go, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and he'd get really mad. So we put that in an episode with Bart. Let's see.
There's one coming up next season where Homer wants Bart to have a nice bed and so he builds these clown beds for him that have a big clown head on the front and big feet at the foot of the bed, and the premise is you're supposed to be happy because you're sleeping in a clown's guts, and Homer paints this very grotesque clown face on the clown, and it gives Bart nightmares, and he's very scared, and he wants to stay as far from the beds as possible. And this is something that actually my father did when I was a kid.
He made a bed like that for you?
He made a clown bed, and it was, the face was so creepy. It had these dark, sunken eyes and big, black, flaring nostrils that the kids finally sawed the heads off the clowns and stuck them in the closet with the faces facing the back wall.
As professional comedy writers, do you quip a lot around the house, like characters in sitcoms always do?
At home, it's more like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, well, there's the baby. I better go say hello. We do have a lot of laughs around the office, but it's never about the script.
Yeah.
The fun stuff is always just talking about, you know, the elections or, you know, things that when we're wasting time and we're not, you know, doing things that are connected with the show. That's fun.
It's really as funny as it gets. It'll be rolling and everyone's laughing, and then someone's got to say, well, let's get back to those damn Simpsons.
Al Jean and Mike Reese were two of the original writers for The Simpsons. The Simpsons' 300th episode will be broadcast this Sunday. More Simpsons in the second half of our show. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air.